Philippians chapter 4. Please stand out of love and respect for the word of God if you're able to. Verse 1, I'll read the odd verses because I am odd, and you get to read the even verses because you're so nice and even as a congregation. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 9. I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Synthe that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Here we are in Philippians chapter 4, and I got to just thinking and meditating and saying, well, actually really begging God, please give me something to say. No, but, well, he did, because I've got 9 points today. Lord have mercy. You all don't have any lunch plans, do you? No? Okay, good. I'm glad. We're fasting today. Hallelujah. No, they'll go quickly, I promise. But look at verse 1, and you may have noticed I'm somewhat of a topical preacher, just by nature. So every once in a while, I have to break out of my own mold and go to somewhat of an expository type where we go verse by verse. And we're going to do that, verses 1 through 9 here today. And, it's good to have a little variety. It's good to get outside the box a little bit. And don't worry, we're still going to flip around. You know, I'm a flipper. I don't know. There's something just about the almighty power of a remote in your hand. I mean, just you can just go to whatever channel you want to, right? I hate commercials. You know, I think I told you this before. I'll pick two or three programs to watch. And yes, I watch them all at the same time. Not very effectively, but I do watch them all. Because I'll get stuck on one, right? And then I'll forget, oh yeah, I was watching that one. So I'll flip it back over there. And anyways, I'm a distracted person. I can't help it. But look at verse 1. We have a writing here of the Apostle Paul to the folks at Philippi. And just some general exhortations here. And just some general things said to the believers. And that's what we're going to talk about first. So today's message is titled, it's very important to have this particular article in front of the next words, A Recipe for Success. Okay, I didn't say the recipe for success. I said A Recipe for Success. In other words, there are more than one way to be successful. Okay? This is not the end all. Well, if I do these things, I'll be successful. Well, not necessarily. It's just a recipe for success. Okay? We need to understand what success means. It's not what we think success is. It's what God thinks success is. Okay? We've got to focus on not what I think it is, but what He thinks it is. And this is a recipe for success. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. You see, the people here at Philippi were special to Paul. They were beloved of him. They were his joy and crown. This church, was, if you will, they were a good church. They did well. If you go back and I encourage you, go through and read Philippians and the report of the folks in Philippi. that they were a good church. And Paul encouraged them and exhorted them and lifted them up and these things, and he gave them some warnings and some things to look out for. But most of the time going through this book here, he's thanking them and praising them and rejoicing with them for their good behavior. That they're doing well. They were being successful in the Lord. And number one on the list for this recipe of success is salvation. It's salvation. Listen, you have nothing. You try to make a cake and you don't put flour in it, you're not getting a cake, folks. You may get some kind of goo or something else, but you're not getting cake. All right, you got to have some. I mean, okay, all you gluten-free people, you almond flour or rice flour, whatever you use, I don't care. You got to have some kind of flour. You got to have some kind of foundation for success in the recipe. Hey, I'd like you to try to make roasted chicken without the chicken. Come on, give it a try. I mean, you can do tofu if you want, I guess, but ain't going to be chicken. All right, I know a lot of things taste like chicken, but if it ain't chicken, it is not chicken, okay? You got to have the main ingredient. And can I tell you the main ingredient in this recipe is salvation. Amen. Salvation comes one way, folks. Through Jesus Christ. That's right. Okay? That's how it comes. Go to Romans chapter 10. I told you we're going to flip. But you better mark Philippians because we are going verse by verse through this. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not Lighthouse Baptist Church, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And that's it. We don't need anything else. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what Jesus said. It is, salvation is not in a church. It's not in a religion. It's not in good behavior. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, you've got to have salvation. You've got to, and if you're going to have a recipe for success, you've got to have the main ingredient. All the other ingredients are supporting cast to the main ingredient. Hey, the sugar, the salt, the egg, the milk, the water, whatever you put in with the flour. It helps make the cake what it is. The flavoring, if you're doing chocolate cake, or if you're doing a red velvet cake, or if you're doing a cinnamon cake, or you're doing a pumpkin cake. I mean, there's all different kinds of things that add to it. But cake is cake, folks. It has flour in it, or some kind of flour in it. A main ingredient. And if you're going to have a recipe for success, back to Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, joy, crown. These are all referring to saved people. They're saved people. They're born again. They trusted Jesus Christ. They have the main ingredient. And all the other ingredients we're going to talk about today, 8 more of them. Are you counting? Okay, you said you're spending a lot of time on this first one. I know, because it's the most important. It's salvation. Ye must be born again. That must is must. It is important. Salvation is paramount to be successful. Without salvation, there is no success. There is only condemnation. Remember we said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did mighty works in your name. We did cast out devils in your name. They had all the supporting ingredients. But he's going to say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. No salvation. So guess what? No cake. No cake. No recipe. You have all the supporting cast, but you've forgot the main ingredient. You've got to be born again.
You must have salvation to be successful. You say, but I'm successful. Have money, house, car, family. What more do I need? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because without those things, you have nothing. Nothing. We've got to understand, to be successful, for a recipe for success, we must have salvation. Look at the rest of verse 1. So he introduces the saved, salvation as the most important ingredient. Then he says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Steadfastness is a second ingredient. In order to be successful, you've got to be steadfast. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Steadfast. We know in 1 Corinthians 15:58 it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to stand true and stand the test of time. Storms are going to come. What do we need to do? Stand fast. We need to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, right? We need to be unmovable. We need to be always abounding. We need to be steadfast in our life as Christians. You there in Colossians 2? Look at verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, salvation, right? Main ingredient. So walk ye in him, that's steadfastness, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Folks, we've got to be steadfast. There are going to be false teachers that creep in, and they're going to try to draw you away and entice you with enticing words. They're going to try. But we've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, holding fast to our faith. We've got to hold on to what Jesus taught us and told us and gives us through the Word of God. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about being a Christian, living the Christian life, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You know, God didn't save us just to sit around and take up space. We're supposed to be good Christians. Remember, the Bible says back in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Remember that? Just a few pages over. Look what he says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, we're not saved because of works. We're saved unto good works. Once we're born again, we should live as a Christian. We don't have to live as a Christian. We get to live as a Christian. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I've said it over and over again, and I'll continue to say it forever, I suppose. Listen, if the only purpose God had for you was salvation, the moment you trusted Christ, he'd kill you, take you to heaven. What reason would there be to be around? Zero. There is a reason. There is a purpose. We've got to learn to be steadfast. Hey, we need an anchor. If you're going to be steadfast, you've got to have roots. And you've got to go into something that's going to hold. I'm holding this up for a reason. This is what's going to hold. A church name's not going to hold. Church group's not going to hold. Religion's not going to hold. Good works not going to... No, this book, God's Word, is what's going to hold.
Amen.
Dig down deep into it. Be steadfast in the book. In order to be successful, we've got to have salvation. We've got to have steadfastness. Look at verse 2, Philippians chapter 4. See this little thing here? That means you can go back quickly to where we were. All right, there, see? That's where mine is. All right, next one. Look at verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech whatever that person is, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, obviously, these are two people that had some problems. I don't know if they were men or women or whatever. They need to be of the same mind. Now, if you notice something, alliteration is difficult. Okay? So I've got 9, and they're all S's. Isn't that amazing? It took me a long time to figure that out. All right, look at this one. So we have salvation, steadfastness, same mind. Okay? Same mind. That one wasn't too hard. We've got to have the same mind. He says, be of the same mind in the Lord. If we're going to be successful, we've got to be of the same mind. We've got to be like-minded. We cannot have our own way. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can't do that. Hey, you cannot serve God and mammon. Right? You're going to hold to the one and despise the other. And you just can't do it. Can't straddle the fence, folks. You can't just, well, I'm going to live a little bit in the world and live a little bit for God. And we're just going to ride the fence here. That doesn't work. God says, hey, I'd rather you be cold. I'd rather you be out of church, living for the devil, than be lukewarm. You say, what? God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He hates lukewarm things. Now, I'm not necessarily the same, because when it comes to coffee, I'll drink it hot, drink it cold, drink it 3 days old. I don't care, because it's coffee. But you know, God's not like that. He wants you hot. He wants you all in or all out. He doesn't want you somewhere in the middle. That's disgusting to him. You ever put something disgusting in your mouth? Don't say your wife's cooking every Sunday afternoon. That'll get you in trouble, mister. Now, come on now. Or this. This is even worse. You're expecting one thing, and it turns out to be something else. Sometimes that's even more disgusting than something that's disgusting. Because it's not necessarily disgusting, but it just wasn't what your brain was thinking. You're like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Who wants to be disgusting in the mouth of God? No, we've got to be of the same mind. We've got to be like-minded. You know, brethren are supposed to be in unity. I tell people all the time, I've been a Christian educator for 15 years. The best possible scenario is when the home, the church, and the school are all pulling in the same direction. Anything else is confusion, and it destroys children. Yeah. Why is it any different in the church? We've got to be pulling together, folks. We've got to be pulling together. This is not a tug of war. We've got to be of the same mind. I'll just read Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through Philippians 2, 4. You know that chapter verses are not inspired by God, okay? You understand that. They're put in there for order, which makes sense. But sometimes we need to kind of read them without the numbers, okay? Think about this. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit. We talked about steadfastness. But notice, we're standing fast in one spirit. With one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict, which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be of the same mind. If we're going to be successful, we need to be of the same mind. Go back to Philippians 4. Look at verse 3. Remember, these are ingredients of the recipe, or a recipe for success. He says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Folks, if we're going to be successful, we've got to work. But since we're using S words, it's service. It's service. Salvation, steadfastness, same mind, service. These are ingredients, part of the recipe, a recipe for success. Yeah, we got time. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. And no, I'm not a clock watcher. I'm just trying to be respectful of your time today. I can't be much, but I can try to be respectful. Look at verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? I love this verse. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I'm not getting off on this rabbit trail because it is a deep, dark rabbit trail. Okay? But there are people out there. Oh, we're living in grace, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Shut up. No. No, we're not living in grace. Just do whatever you want. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. Paul says so. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Well, let's get off that. Okay. Now, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hey, we switched masters, folks. You know, you never stop being a servant. You know, I love these kids. They grow up in maybe a tough home where the mom and dad are giving them rules and things to follow. Oh, I'm done with all this stuff. I'm joining the military. Not too bright. For real? Okay. Whatever. I want to be my own boss. Well, guess what? You become a boss. Even if you are your own boss, you become a boss of somebody else. Just ask these people that own businesses. You still have a boss. Yeah, deadlines, budget, right? Yeah. I'm just telling you, we've got to understand service. So we didn't just become free. We can do whatever we want. No, now we were servants of sin. Now we're servants of righteousness. We just changed bosses. And can I tell you something? Not so bad. It's not so bad. I kind of like this boss a whole lot better than the other one. Amen. He goes on, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, folks, we're free, but we're not free to do what we want. We're free to serve the Lord. We're free to serve. Now listen, you may not understand the story, but I am not for slavery by any stretch. But you understand that when there was slavery in times past, and that was a horrible thing, but not all slave owners were horrible, terrible, awful people. You understand that? Many of them treated their slaves very well, like their own family. And there were times where a slave would do something maybe saved their master's life or whatever the case may be. But they were given their freedom. Okay, which is what I think is a wonderful thing. But they were given their freedom and they would look and they would say, well, I like it here. I love you and I love your family and I feel like one of your family. I want to stay. And they would take something called an awl and they drive it through the ear of that servant to signify that it was his own choice or her own choice to stay with the master. And listen, that's good. That's okay. Listen, have you chosen that? Have you chosen that for you? Do you serve God because you want to or because you think you have to? I hope it's because you want to. But service is a part of who we are. You're going to serve somebody. Like I tell my teacher, someone's going to run the classroom. It's either going to be you or the kids. It better be you. Yeah. Folks, we're either going to serve ourselves, we're going to serve the devil, or we can serve God. Well, you're going to serve someone. So an ingredient for success is service. Make sure you choose wisely. Go back to Philippians 4 and verse 4. Now this was the hardest one, alliteration wise. Okay, not hard to do, hard to alliterate, because I was looking for S's. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Can I tell you something? There are no synonyms for rejoice that start with an S. I looked. So the best I could come up with was smile. Smile. That's the best I could do. I'm deficient. I'm sorry. But smile was the best I could, because that's all I can do, right? Amen? Smile. Rejoice. Be happy. Who wants to be a Christian if your life is all like this? I can't sin. I can't go where I want. God's a dictator. I mean, what? Why would you want to be a Christian then? I mean, come on, really? Or who would want to be like you? You look like you just drank a gallon of pickle juice. Nobody wants that. And can I ask you a question? Why can't the Christian life be fun? Do you know that I decide what I think is fun? I do. You know what I think is not fun? Lots of things. I don't want to get on anybody's hobbies, okay? But do you know that you may think something is fun, and I don't think it's fun? Because you decided it was fun, and I decided it wasn't fun. It doesn't mean that event standing alone by itself is fun or not fun. You understand what I'm talking about? Why is living a holy life not fun? Could it be fun? If you decide it is. Oh, why is not talking with bad language, why is that not fun? Well, can't I say what I want to say? Can't I express myself how I feel? Maybe you shouldn't. Right? We talked about this morning, sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, nobody would do it. But for a season. But the end is death. Hey folks, let's just learn to smile. You know, there'd be more people that want to be a Christian if you looked like one. Yeah. I mean, a real one. Happy. Do you think that God wants us to live miserable? No way. Psalm 68, 3 and 4, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Oh, he goes on. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Hey, you know what that means? That's out of bounds, overboard. Like, woo! People ought to think you're nuts, folks. See, that's why I fit in just fine. Not only am I in the loony bin, I'm the chief of the loony bin. But that's okay. Sing unto God. Sing His praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah. And rejoice before Him. That's out of Psalm 68, verses 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 15, rejoice evermore. 1 Peter 6, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of God, of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Smile. That's an ingredient for success. Hey, you know what? The only reason I go around smiling all the time is because I'm lazy. Yeah, it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. So I smile. I'm just kidding. And that is true, though, scientifically speaking. That's not why. Because I have Jesus Christ. I have salvation. What in the world do I have to complain about? Tell me, please, someone tell me, because I don't want to complain. No, don't tell me. I want to be happy. I want to be rejoicing and joyful. Got to smile. Salvation, steadfastness, same mind, service, smile. Hey, we're at number 6. Almost done. Go back to verse 5. I told you it wouldn't take too long. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This one is self-control. Self-control. If you want to, you can go back in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And you can read about the warfare between the spirit and the flesh. Folks, it's a battle. And we've got to exercise self-control. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Folks, we've got to practice self-control. We've got to, as it says here in Philippians, let your moderation be known unto all men. People should know that you don't say those things. That you don't do those things. That you don't go those places. Not because somebody's making you, because that's not who you are. You're a Christian. Hey, I tell my kids, we don't do that. We don't watch that. We don't look at that. We don't do that. We don't say that. We don't act like that because you're a Combs. And more importantly, you're a Christian. My mom and dad told me that when I was growing up. Our name meant something. Can I tell you, Christ's name means something. So let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Folks, we're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to live a testimony. We're supposed to have self-control. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's coming again, folks. As a thief in the night, are you ready for His coming? Do your neighbors know you're a Christian? Oh, not because you told them, but because you showed them. You know what? It'd be easy for someone to rob my house. They know when I'm going to be gone. Because I'm at church. And I'm at soul winning. And I'm doing this. And I'm doing that. And I do it all the time. Guess what? I'm not worried about it, by the way. If you want what I have, it's all yours. I know where to get more. They'll take care of me. I'm not worried about it. I'm not attached to this stuff here on this earth. It's just stuff. It's okay. And guess what? I gave it all back to him anyway, so it's all his stuff. So if you take it, you're stealing from God, not me. Titus chapter 2, look at verses, you could just listen, we are running out of time. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. An ingredient for success? Self-control. Very quickly, go back to Philippians 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Seventh one is supplication. It's prayer. And supplication is a little bit beyond prayer. Just listen to the words of David. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way therein I walked, they have privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. If we're going to be successful, we've got to pray. We need to get a hold of God, folks. Hey, remember Jacob? There he had that vision, right? And he grabbed hold, said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. When's the last time you told God, I'm not letting you go till you bless me? Folks, we got to get a hold of God. We got to pray. Most of the time, it's sweet minute of prayer, sweet minute of prayer. Right? I'll pray whenever I have a care. I mean, that's all we do. I like to do play on songs. It's kind of fun. It's not the Bible, so I can do what I want with it, right? No, listen. Isn't it true? Good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That's about the substance of our prayer and prayer life. Folks, can I just steal a phrase from another Bible verse? Brethren, these things ought not so to be. That's not how we supplicate. Get a hold of God. Cry out. Grab hold of him. Say, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. That's how we're going to get success, folks. A recipe for success. Okay, quickly, look at number 8. Finally. Amen. We're on number 8. Preacher's almost done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, Brother Combs, what in the world, S word, could you come up here? Saturate. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Meditate. Selah. In the book of Psalms. Saturate. What are you going to put in to your life? Because whatever you put in is what's going to come out. If you plant an apple seed, you're getting an apple tree. If you plant an orange seed, you're getting an orange tree. Yeah, if you plant an apple seed, you're not getting a pear tree. You're not. And if you put junk in, you're not getting good stuff out. A tree is known by its fruits. So if carnality is coming out of your life, guess what's going into your life? Yeah. It's the truth. Only be thou strong and very courageous, Joshua was told, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Hey, we're not just making chocolate cake, folks. We're making good chocolate cake. It's not just a recipe for success. It's a recipe for good success. Amen. The best you ever had. Come on. Saturate. There's a cake out there. If you've not had it, you need to. Tres leche cake. You know what they do with tres leche cake? They soak that stuff. They soak the cake. They saturate the cake. Now, if you don't like wet, mushy cake, you don't want to eat this cake. Okay? But I like wet, mushy cake. It's good. How many tres leche fans? Yay! Okay. Yeah? Come on. They take that sweetened condensed milk, and they pour that all in there, and they poke holes in the cake, and who wants tres leche cake? Come on. Saturate. It makes it good. You know what I like? I like gravy. You know why I like gravy? Gravy saturates. Fat is flavor. You know what they make gravy out of? Fat. Come on. It's good stuff. Yeah. I baptize thee in the gravy. Come on. More gravy. Yeah. Hey, listen. If you want good success, what does he say? Saturate. Think on these things. Be saturated. All right, let's get to number 9. The roast is burning. Chapter 4, verse 9. You see, you skip verse 7. I'm getting to that. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen. Okay, so stop there. This is all the things we've been talking about, right? All these ingredients. You know, at the end of the recipe, right, where it says, add this, dump this in, splash this, some of that. Then they say what? Do. Do. Action word. Do. He said, hey, we got salvation. We got steadfastness. We got same mind. We've got service. We've got smile. We've got self-control. We've got a supplication. We've got saturation. Now do. See, that's not an S word. I know. Simulate. Simulate. I did that last night when I was doing this. I put a T in there. It's no T in there. It's simulate. Simulate is do. Do. Simulate it. Listen. For I have given you an example, Jesus said in John 13, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him, than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye, good success, a recipe for success, if ye do them. We don't have time to read all of James, but can I just remind you that what he said in verse 1, or in chapter 1, he says, we don't need you to be a hearer of the word, we need to be a doer. said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Simulate. We got 9 S's out of that. Isn't that great? Yeah. Folks, this is just a recipe for success. It's not the only way, but you know what? Makes a good cake. Makes a good cake.